I'll take one of those back. I like that chant. The one I got was nicer. How come?
Oh, they're all different.
Two versions.
Oh, two versions. It's interesting. It says here, straightforward and gentle in speech. I'm gentle in speech, but I'm very straightforward. Very. And that's why I suppose people are worried, because they told me that some of the people who come here are referred from doctors, and some of the people here don't want to hear anything, and some of the people just want to leave and be happy and go home. And I said, well, what's wrong with Buddhism? Don't they want to hear about Buddhism? Because it seems to be an ethic in Buddhism that we don't tell lay people many things. We don't tell you because we don't want you to feel bad. But why would you feel bad about what the Buddha taught? Mm. That seems very strange to me as a Buddhist. Mm. And when I heard what Buddhism was, which was in 1968, in December of 1968, can I just talk to you like this?
Yes, please.
Yeah. In 1968, in December of 1968, I was living in a hippie commune in Montana, getting a PhD in psychology, in clinical psychology. And the man who was running the commune, some of you are old enough maybe to remember those days, because I'm not that young. And I was one of those hippie people in those days, living in the Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco. And so we were living in Montana at that time. My girlfriend and I were living in Montana, and we were building this commune to have the first rock concert in America before Woodstock. It was before Woodstock. We had built a television studio, and we had invited the Beatles and the Grateful Dead, and they were coming for our concert. And it was New Year's Eve, and we took some acid, LSD, and we were talking, and he told me about Buddhism. The first time I had ever heard about Buddhism. And he told me that there was this monastery in Carmel Valley, California, called Tassajara Monastery, the first Zen monastery in America, and the first Zen teacher, Suzuki Roshi. And they had just built it, and this is what Buddhism is about, and this is what, you know, this and that. And I listened and I said, wow, I'm a Buddhist. I didn't know that. And I said, wow, I want to go to this monastery. And he said, when are you going? And I said, tomorrow morning. And I just left the next morning and stayed in that monastery for 3 years until the teacher died. And so you hear something and it changes your life. And it changed my life. That was the first time I ordained as a monk. And I've been a monk, this is the fourth time in my life I've been a monk, in many different traditions, in the Zen tradition, in the Mahayana tradition in Taiwan, in Burma, in the Burmese tradition. Can you hear me, everyone? And also in this monastery here, in Bodhinyana Monastery, which is in the Ajahn Chah tradition. All different kinds of Buddhism. I've had many teachers. I've been a lay person in between. I've been a lay person. I've been married twice. I have children from both marriages. My daughter is a nun in the nuns' monastery. And I've been a businessman, a farmer. I've done many different things in my life. But I'm here as a monk. Why? Because I heard about Buddhism. So I would like to talk a little bit about Buddhism to you, so that you know a little bit about Buddhism. And what did the Buddha teach? Do you know what the Buddha teaches? You've been to this group for so many years. You must know what the Buddha taught. And the one thing he taught was one thing. He didn't teach many different things. He could have taught so many things. He could have taught about, you know, how the planets arose, how the oceans came about, how people can be successful in life. He could have talked about a lot of things, but he talked about only one thing. Talked about what? What did he talk about?
Suffering.
Yeah, he talked about suffering and how its end to reach. He taught people what suffering was and how to get out of suffering. And you're not supposed to talk to lay people about the suffering part. That's a no-no, because they shouldn't know about suffering. They should just be happy and support the monastery. Make big donations, be happy. Yeah. So it's important to know about suffering, because if you're not suffering, then why would you want to get out? Why would you want to stop the suffering? You wouldn't even care. You wouldn't even know what suffering was. So you have to, the first step to being a Buddhist is you have to understand suffering. You have to know what it is. And if you don't know what it is, then you won't want to get away from it. You'll be immersed in it, and you'll never get out. You just have to keep going on and on and on. And what do people do when they suffer? What is suffering? Well, we talk a little bit about suffering, one of my favorite subjects. Because suffering makes you happy. It doesn't make you unhappy. It should make you super happy to know what's going on. We should know what's happening in this human life, and instead we don't. So when people suffer, which they're suffering all the time, everyone, there's no one in this room who hasn't suffered. There's no one in this room who hasn't suffered in the last year. There's no one in this room who hasn't suffered in the last month, in the last week, in the last day, in the last 2 or 3 hours. Everyone in this room, I assure you, has had some suffering in the last few minutes even. Just having a human body, that's suffering. You're born with a human body, and it's going to get old, it's going to get sick, and it's going to die. That's the basic teachings of Buddhism. And no one can get away from it, but everyone is trying to get away from it. But how did they get away from it? Well, human life. That's how they get away from it. First thing you do is when you have suffering is you blame someone. Who do you blame? You're usually your wife, because she's closest. Or your husband, if he's closest. Or if you can't blame them, blame the neighbors. Or blame your boss. Or blame the government. Or blame, I don't know, the economy. Or blame someone. You have to blame someone. But what good does that do? Everyone is doing this all the time. Blaming the Republicans, the Democrats, whatever. They're blaming someone for the problems that they're having. But does it do any good? Does it change the situation? Complaining, grouching, whinging. Does it change? Doesn't do anything. And not only that, it creates bad karma. Very bad karma for the future, for your future, if you blame someone. So that, let's cross that off the list. We don't want to do that. Then if they don't blame someone, what else do they do? Run away. What do you mean run away? Well, I have a bad partner. I get a new partner. I have a bad job. I get a new job. I have a bad city I'm in. I'll go to a new city. I have a bad frame of reference in my mind. I'll get a new frame of reference. I'll become a Buddhist. Does that help? No. It just changes one form of suffering for another form of suffering. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you live in the city, you say, I want to go to the country, become an organic farmer. I did that. Become an organic farmer, grow your own food, and have your own goats, get off the grid, you know, have a wood-burning stove, make your own rugs, make your own shoes, make your own clothes, raise your own goats, grow your own food. I did that to get away from the world, I thought. But it didn't make me happy. In fact, my wife divorced me because of that. I met her when she was 19, and by the time she was 26, all her friends were partying, and she had 2 children, and had milk goats at 4 o'clock in the morning, work until 10 o'clock at night. From 4 in the morning till 10 at night, every day. So she said, I'm getting out. So I was only married a short time, now 6 years, first 6 years of my suffering. But I was very lucky. All my sufferings have given me a lot of luck. So you change one thing, and you get another kind of suffering. You know, you go here, you go there, go to another city. Does that make you happy? You go to another partner. Does that make you happy? You do anything, and it doesn't make you happy. It's always the next. When I get the next raise in my salary, I'll be happy. When I get the next partner, I'll be happy. When I get the next this, get the next that. It never happens. You never get happy. So, cross that one off. So blaming doesn't work. And then changing to the next thing, that doesn't work. So then we have other escapes. We have our inventory of escapes. And the big escapes are, you know, entertainment. I have my television, I have my movies, I have my internet, I have, you know, all these kinds of escapes, reading, anything you can do, collecting, collect stamps, collect furniture, collect partners, collect, you can collect anything. I know people who collect anything. There's anything you can collect. You can collect magazines, old magazines, and make money. You can do anything. Hobbies, they call them. Mm-hmm. Everyone needs a hobby. I heard one monk talking about that yesterday, that you lay people should have hobbies and this will make you happy. That's not good. That's not the answer. That's not going to make you happy. It's going to give you more, as we say in Chinese, fan nao, more headaches. We don't want more headaches. It's just more things to do, more things to worry about. Your stamp collection, your coin collection, your book collection, your partner collection, your whatever collection. So we don't want to make collections anymore. We're trying to get less stuff. The more stuff you have, the more trouble you have. Everything you get. Okay, so then we go out to get stuff. We have to go out and get stuff. We get desire to get stuff. And what kind of stuff? Anything it could be. Who knows what you want. You might want a new dress, you might want a new shirt, you might want a new computer, you might want a new partner, you might want a new house, you might want a new book, you might, anything. And as soon as you want it, you feel, wow, this is what I want. And then you have to pursue it. You go out and you find some way to get it. Use your resources, your money, your power, your whatever, to get what you want. And eventually, you usually get it. Everyone gets it. And if you can't get it, it doesn't matter. You go for second best. Or you go third best. Who cares? But you'll get something. And then after you get it, you're still not happy. Anything you get, think of all the computers that you wanted, or all the partners that you wanted, or all the books that you wanted, that you knew were going to make you happy, get you enlightened or something. Did they ever make you happy? No. Why? Because craving is a bottomless bucket. It has no bottom. You pour stuff in, it's empty. It keeps getting empty. As soon as you get something, you feel good for a few minutes, a few days, maybe a week, maybe a month, never very long. As soon as you get a new shirt, you wear it once, you wash it, it's old. Just like us. We get old. We think we're always going to be young. Listen, I'm older than most of you. Maybe not you, I don't know. Okay. How old?
77.
Oh, yo, she's my grandma. No, almost. One and a half years older than me. Okay, we're like brothers and sisters. Very nice. So you understand. She understands because she's gotten old. But you don't understand what... If you're young, you can't understand what being old is. Even Ajahn Brahm doesn't understand what being old. Now he's understanding. Slowly he's understanding. Yeah, it's harder to get up. It's harder to do this. It's harder. It gets harder. But you can't understand until you get older. Right?
Mm, yeah. Sure.
So I'm here to teach you a lesson. Just by being old, I don't need to do anything. I just need to sit here being old. And that's enough. But I can still cross my legs. Why? Why can I do that? Because it's important to me. Why? Because my daughter was looking at me one day and I started to cross my legs. And she says, what are you doing, Daddy? You're going to hurt your legs. And I said, oh, don't worry. He said, no, you're going to hurt your leg. Don't cross them like a pretzel like that. I said, don't worry. So I crossed my legs for about a half a minute. And she said, oh, wow, pretty good. I said, don't worry, because tomorrow I'll cross it for 45 seconds, then for a minute, then for 2 minutes, then for 3 minutes, then for 5, 10, 20, an hour, 2 hours, who knows? I don't know. And then wherever I go, if I go on the airplane, I cross my legs. I go in the car, I cross my legs. I go in the car to here, I cross my legs. Right?
I wasn't watching.
I wouldn't. He was. Right. He knew I crossed my legs because he couldn't shift gears. Okay. Because it's important. You'll do whatever is important. Everyone does what's important. That's how you know it's important, because you do it. You brush your teeth. Why? Because you think it's important. If you didn't think it's important, you wouldn't brush your teeth. You go for a walk because you think it's important for your health. You eat good food because you think it's important for your health. Right? We don't only do what we think is important. So I'm here to tell you what the Buddha thought was important and what I think is important. That's why I'm here. That's what I'm here to teach about. Yeah. So, the escapes, the movies, the books, anything, any kind of entertainment, the whole travel industry, is based on escape. No travel industry 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago, 100 years ago. It's only now we want to escape, we go traveling. What do you do when you travel? You have an itinerary. I remember one of my last girlfriend, she, every time we go to anywhere, she buys 3 guidebooks, reads the guidebooks, underlines everything, marks it, everything, and that's what you have to do when you get there. But I don't like that. I like to rest. When I go on a holiday, I don't want to travel. I want to rest. I want to lay in bed with her. I don't want to do anything else. And I want to go eating nice food and just relax. Why can't we relax? So that's important, to learn how to relax. That's why you're here. To learn how to meditate. Meditation is a form of relaxation, a very deep form of relaxation, because we're not just relaxing our body, which you have to learn to do also, but you're learning to relax your mind. Okay, so that doesn't work. The travel doesn't work. The books, the movies, the internet, nothing works. So what's left? Come to the meditation group. That doesn't work either. Why? Why doesn't that work? Because many reasons. But the big reason is you have feet in two boats, or have two boats in one feet, or whatever. You put your foot in the lay life, and you put your foot in the Buddhist life, and you're 1 foot in this boat, 1 foot in that boat, you can't get very far. That's why I become a monastic. Why do I become a monastic? Because I want to take this as far as I can go. Because I want to get out. I don't want to continue to do this over and over, go to grammar school, go to high school, go to college, get old, get sick, and die. I'm getting close. So I don't want to keep doing this over and over and over and over. And most of you don't want to do this either, over and over. So how can you do this? It's not just becoming a monastic necessarily, it's just changing your lifestyle. Renouncing, it's called. We call it renunciation. What does that mean? Giving up, letting go. So in Buddhism, we have the total opposite of what everyone in the world is doing: amassing, collecting, keeping, holding, grabbing, catching. Yeah. And we're giving away, letting go, generosity, you know. Letting things go, let go, let go, let go, let it be, let go. So that's what Buddhism is about, letting go of all these things that we do in the world to keep us occupied so we don't know that we're suffering. Having a human body is a lot of suffering, and we're born in this realm, you have to accept that. Even the Buddha suffered. The Buddha suffered also. Even though you're enlightened, you suffer. Why do you suffer? You know why you suffer? Because in one sutta, you know, those are the texts that the Buddha wrote. Not wrote, but he talked. And then people remembered those texts and wrote them down eventually, and we have them now. He was talking to his attendant, and he said, if someone should ask you, what is the cause the specific condition for old age and death, should you say? What should you say? Is there a specific condition? And you should say, yes, there is. And then you should say that the specific condition for this old age and death is birth. You've been born. We're all born. There's no one in this room who hasn't been born. And as soon as you're born, as Ajahn Brahm says, you're stuffed. You're here. You can't get away. Even if you're the Buddha, what are you learning actually as a Buddhist, as a monk? And you should learn as a layperson. The goal is to get out, to stop the rebirth. Sariputta was once asked, he's a very succinct, very, his answers to things were very powerful. Someone asked him, what is happiness, what is suffering? Very briefly, what is it? He said, unhappiness is getting born. Happiness is not getting reborn. So what we're doing actually is trying to stop this process of rebirth through the meditation, through increasing our wisdom and learning. There is a path. The Buddha laid out the whole path. He laid it out very clearly. There's a path to get out of this. It may take many lifetimes. For some of you, it may take many, many lives. For me, it may take many lifetimes. We don't know. But you keep putting drops. There's a big bucket of water behind me, and it's dripping, 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 dripping in. The water's dripping in. You don't know when that big container of water will fill, but someday it will be full. So you don't worry. You just keep filling the bucket, so to speak. That bucket doesn't have a hole in it, fortunately. And so everything you do, because it's karma, everything you do has a cause and effect. It has its causes, that's why you do it, and then it has its effects. So we try to do things that have no bad effects. That's the goal in this life. As much as you can, you do good things. By doing good things, you create good karma for the future, good rebirths. Who knows what will happen from it? And you get the results right away. You don't need to wait till next lifetime. This is not like heaven. You're going to go to heaven after you die, you know. Because as Buddhists, we don't believe in heaven. Because there's no such thing as a heaven realm. Because if there was a heaven realm, a happy realm, forever after, it can't exist. Can anything exist forever after? Even enlightenment doesn't exist forever after. There's some Buddhists who say, you know, you're enlightened, it's forever after. You go on and on as an enlightened being, but you don't go on and on. It's ended. You end the whole thing. The Buddha ended it for himself. He ended the rebirth process. It's a wonderful thing. This is joy. For us, it may not seem like joy. We want to keep going on and on and on. Endless, endless, endless. You know, riding off into the sunset, you know, with a beautiful girl, and then if you're a Buddhist, you ride off into nirvana with your enlightenment, you know. But it doesn't work. So there is a path, and I mean, what I'm trying to do in a very short time, in like 15-20 minutes, is tell you the whole path of Buddhism, which is impossible. Many days it'll take me to give you the whole path. Not many days, but at least a few hours. But so briefly, yeah. You've come here to do a little meditation. I don't want to take that away from you, and I want to guide you on a meditation, a different kind of meditation, maybe perhaps than you've been guided on before, just like maybe a different kind of talk than you've heard before. But you seem to all take it very well. I'm watching you all. No one's passing out. No one's crying. No one's running out of the room. No one's wetting their pants. I don't see any of that.
Not as bad as you thought it was going to be.
No, from what I was told. I don't know. I've never come here before. So I didn't know. But you're a very good group, and I'm glad I came, actually. Now I'm happy. And, so this is very good. So the cause of suffering, briefly, I mean, when suffering is the first step, you have to understand, recognize it, as I say, recognize the shit, and then get rid of it. if you can't recognize shit, you can't wash it off. You won't wash it off. You'll lick it, maybe even. Who knows? You have to know what's not wholesome and what isn't, what is wholesome. You have to know what's going to be good for you and what isn't good for you. We all know. Actually, everyone in this room knows what's good for them. But sometimes, you know, I didn't even know a lot of things that I was doing were not good for me. Like I was killing mosquitoes when I was younger. I even killed ants a lot with gasoline. I remember pouring in, when I was a kid, you pour it into the holes and you light it and you feel great. But terrible things I was doing. And we do these things because we don't know. No one told me. If someone had ever told me, I would stop right cold turkey. So the things I've learned as I've grown up in this world and grown older, all those things I take on board. If someone tells me, oh, this will make you happy, this is good, this is what, you know, this is wise people say, do this, I'll try it and see what happens. So I take things on board right away. I'm not one of these people who say, well, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that already is resistance. It's our resistance that's a big problem. We resist stuff. What's resisting? What's inside us that's resisting? The craving, the wanting, the will, that thing, the ego inside of us, it drives us to do all kinds of unwholesome things all the time. It's a torturer. It's sadistic. It's the jailer. Ajahn Mun calls it the jailer. It's the jailer telling us, do this, do that, eat this, eat that, be this, be that. It's that voice in our head that's always telling us to do stuff, pushing us this way, pushing us that way, never giving us a moment's rest, relaxation, and peace. We need some peace. And I'm here because it says right here in this sutta that we just read, it says, who knows the path of peace? And I know the path of peace. That's what I'm here to teach you, is the path of peace, the path of freedom, the path of enlightenment, the path of letting go. It's all the same path. It's one path. And that path is reached by doing certain things and having some wisdom. So it's your wisdom faculty that's going to change your life. It's not your willpower. It's not this will inside you that's pushing you this way and pushing you that way. That's causing you most of the problem. Most of the problem. Not all of it, but most of it. But the wisdom, the Buddha's wisdom, and you know you need the Buddha. The Buddha got this all by himself. But for us, the later people come along, we need the teachings because we don't know. He does it all himself. A Buddha does it all by himself, but his disciples, the arahats that come after him, do it because they heard these teachings. We need the word of another. That's the Buddha's words, or a wise person's words. And we will call in Buddhism, what is it called? Manisikara Yonisona, Yoniso. The work of the mind that goes back to the root. A mind that understands the causes and effects. Why are we this way? Why did this happen? Because we were born, right? And so the Buddha went and found out. I'm not going to go into this. This is called dependent origination. This is a whole subject, many talks. But he found out that birth has a cause. And what's the cause of birth? And back until you get to the root of the problem. And then you can end birth. That's how you end birth, by ending the cause for birth. Even consciousness at the end, you see, has a cause too. Some people believe that consciousness is the end of the whole trip, so to speak. You get people like Eckhart Tolle and the certain people who've talked about this, and they think that consciousness is the end of the trip. But it isn't. Consciousness, the Buddha said, has a cause. It too is dependent. It too is conditioned. But we're not going to go into all this. This is extra stuff. The important thing is to understand the problem is our craving, our wanting, our pushing, this part of us that keeps pushing, 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 driving us all the time. We want to decrease this and have some peace of mind, have some stillness in our mind so that we can actually see things more clearly. The things that I've talked to you about, you could know for yourself. Completely know for yourself if your mind, when your mind gets still. You don't need a Buddha for this. You don't need anything. You just need a still mind. And so meditation is the way to still the mind. So we'll do a little bit of meditation. I was going to talk a little bit about the path of peace, but it takes so long. And we only have a very limited time. They close the building, we'll be locked in. We'll cause a scandal. I was going to talk about contentment. I was going to talk about acceptance. I talk about one of them. I'll talk about acceptance a little. You have to accept stuff. We don't accept our life as it is. Just as it is. We don't accept the fact that we're getting old. We don't accept the fact that we're going to die. We don't accept the fact that our children may not love us. We don't accept a lot of things. Why? Because we're not acceptors. We're fighters. We like to fight. We don't like to accept. We like to find faults with things and try to fix them all the time. Always fixing stuff. Mending stuff, repairing stuff. Oh, that's wrong, that's not right, this has to be fixed, this has to... Instead of accepting things and being at peace with things, Buddhism is the path of peace, the path of acceptance. Learning how to accept life as it is, as you are. You know? That's so hard for most people, just to accept, I'm old. Okay, so I'm old. My back is not straight. Okay, so it's not straight. Who cares? I'm at peace with myself, at peace with my body, and trying to be at peace with my mind. It's not my mind, that's the thing. Because we think that the mind, we own our bodies and we own our minds. And that's why we push. We think we own this, so we want to change our bodies. We want to change our minds instead of making peace with our own minds and making peace with our bodies. It's not our bodies, it's just a body. And it's just a mind, but it's not yours. You don't own it. And we keep thinking we own these things. The ego keeps telling us, we own it. This is yours. And then you have to do something. If it's yours, you have to do something with it. You're in charge of it. But we're not in charge. If you were in charge, then you wouldn't get old. You wouldn't get sick. Why would you get sick, right? Why would you get old? You wouldn't. But you're not in charge. You wouldn't get unhappy. But you do get unhappy. Why? Because you're not in charge. So we're going to learn to not be in charge of our meditation tonight. We're going to learn not to have destinations like my girlfriend, you know, have this place to go, that place to go. You're just going to sit there and be a human being instead of being someone who's always going somewhere, doing something, getting a degree, coming here to get something. I'm going to get some peace. I'm going to get some happiness. I'm going to get some joy. I'm going to get something coming to this group. Maybe you'll get nothing. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Just be here. Mm-hmm. And just be here. Whatever happens, who cares? You're here. You are here. So you might as well just be here and be at peace with it. And that will bring you peace in everything you do. We're learning how to be peaceful in everything we do, not just meditation. Sitting in the car with my legs crossed and getting in the way of the gear shift. I'm at peace with that. Getting old, I'm at peace with that. Not being able to put on my robes properly, I'm at peace with that. Because it doesn't matter. You know, no one's going to remember anything I said in about 10 minutes after you leave. But you're having it has an effect on you right now. And that's the important thing. That's why the tapes are not so important. My presence is important so that you get something from me. And the tape, yeah, the words, maybe I get something. I'm appealing to your mind as well as other things, but there's something sharing my own feeling with you. And then you pick up on it. Hey, this monk, something. He's been a lay person too, and you know, it's not like most of the monks, they at 20 years old or 23 years old, they ordain as monks and they know all about families, children, everything. I don't know how, they're geniuses, real geniuses. But I'm not one of those geniuses. I had to learn the hard way. And you do learn. And that's that kind of learning is different kind of learning. So we're here to be peaceful, to be calm, to get our minds quiet. And the way to do that is not to have any destinations, any goals, any objectives, any striving, any of this pushing. We're always doing that. So let's try to meditate. So the first thing to do when you meditate, I'll tell you how I meditate. First thing to do is you sit down. Why do you sit down? Because if you're moving around, you have other things you're doing with your body. So you sit down. You already stopped so many things. You stopped your legs, your arms, and all that stuff moving around. You stop. You close your eyes, so you're not looking. You're not smelling very much. You're not tasting very much. You're not eating. So you've stopped a lot of the sense input so that you can get in touch with your mind, because we very rarely get in touch with our mind. So now we want to get in touch with our mind. So get into any comfortable position. If you're sitting on the floor at home, or you're sitting on a chair at home, or whatever you're sitting, make sure your body is comfortable. So arrange your body and get it comfortable. Remember, if you're not in a good position, that after about 15 or 20 minutes, you'll feel more uncomfortable. So arrange your body and spend a lot of time arranging your body, because that's meditation in itself, to arrange your body. Get the body comfortable. So I'm going to get my body comfortable too. I'm pretty comfortable. I like sitting on the floor. It's amazing that I can still sit on the floor, cross my legs at 76 almost. My God, that's pretty amazing. And sit for many hours. Many hours. 3, 4, 5 hours at a time. It amazes me. Because I want to do it. So I'm encouraging you to spend as much time at home, because you don't have many things to do. You're old already. So you don't need to have much responsibilities anymore. You can do this more often than they can. You're lucky. I know you're lucky, I'm saying. You're lucky. So where the old ones are in front, I don't know why. But you can do these things at home as much as you can, because it's a form of relaxation, real relaxation. So you get your body comfortable, your feet, your arms. So what do you do with your hands? Because you do have hands. You put them somewhere. You can put them on your knees. You can put them in your lap. There's all kinds of ways to put them. I even brought something, I think. I like this. It's an addition that most people... Whoops. I brought this little thing that I made. I like this. I made this for my lap. Because my hands... You see, if I sit for a long time, like 3 or 4 hours, your wrists hurt. My wrists hurt if I sit for 3 or 4 hours. So I devised this. And I can put my hands on something. Like a little pillow. I made a little soft, nice little pillow. And it's nice for my hands. So I put my hands on it. I'll show you. I made this out of an old robe. You know, I stuffed it, made it. Very, very convenient. Fits into here. Put my hands on it. And get your body comfortable. And then close your eyes. Close your eyes. Remember, we have no destination, no place you're going, no goals. Just going to sit here and be at peace. Whatever happens in the next, I don't know how many minutes we have to sit. Someone should tell me when the sitting is over. I could sit for hours.
30 minutes.
Okay, well, so we're going to sit for about 30 minutes, and I'll talk to you for the first 10 minutes. Okay?
Yes.
Okay. So, whatever happens, it's okay. Doesn't matter. You're restless. You're thinking of your family. It's okay. It's happening. This is what's happening. Why make it up? Why punish yourself? You shouldn't think of that. You should be meditating now. Don't Don't do that. You're punishing yourself. You're blaming yourself. Is that helpful? That's not what we're here for. Whatever has to happen will happen, and things will settle down if you're patient. Patience, 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 patience. Patience is the highest spiritual practice. There isn't anything higher. Because why? Because patience goes against control. The control that you're always using in your mind to make yourself better, to fix things, to do things. You don't want to do that anymore. So let the controller inside go to sleep and rest so that you can have a rest. Just close your eyes and just relax. Start with your eyes, because we put so much time looking at people all day long. Your eyes must be tired. Looking at people, making expressions with your eyes. So relax the area around your eyes. Just feel, put your mind on your eyes and let the area around your eyes relax. You'll feel it relax. You can all take off your glasses. If you're wearing glasses, take off your glasses. Why not relax your eyes? That's the real relaxation. Take off your glasses. Good. Relax your eyes. You're not using your glasses now. You're not looking at anything. There's nothing to see. Just the area around your eyes. Relax. Go down to the mouth, because we spend a lot of time and energy using our mouth, talking. I do a lot of talking. Ajahn Brahm hates when I do the talking. He's always telling me, shut up, shut up, shut up. Okay. So your mouth does a lot of work. Old people, they don't move so much, but their mouth keeps moving. So relax the area around your mouth. All the muscles, all the expressions that you have to, all the smiling that you do at other people creates tension around the mouth. So just relax the mouth, around the mouth. Then go down to your shoulders and your neck, especially your shoulders. You'll find there's a lot of tension in the shoulders. If you take a deep breath, not a very deep breath, it's just a deeper breath, and on the exhale, relax your shoulders. You'll find they slump down. Try it once, see what happens. And then try it again. You'll notice that if you keep doing it once or twice or even three times, it keeps slumping down because you keep holding tension there, holding those muscles tight. So relax the shoulders. Then go down to the abdomen. We hold a lot of tension in our stomachs and our lower abdomen, where our breathing occurs. So go down to that area and do the same thing. then relax your hands. When you do a lot of movements with your hands and fingers, relax those. Try to get very relaxed in the hands and fingers. Then go to any part of the body that has any pain or any discomfort. There'll be parts of the body that are maybe not comfortable, and try to adjust your body so that it's more comfortable. If you can't adjust your body, just put your attention on it and make it as comfortable as you can. Then take this practice that we've just done with our body and apply it to your mind. Calm, calm, calm. Calm, calm, calm. Just like we said, relax, relax, relax. Settle the mind down. Give it that little bit of instruction. A little bit, not much. We don't want to instruct the mind. We just want to be our friend. Your mind is your friend. You're not owning your mind. You're friends with your mind and telling it to just calm, calm, calm. And just sit there for a while, the next 20 minutes, and see what happens. And accept whatever happens and be at peace with it. That's the only goal you have, just to make peace with everything that's happening. we're coming to the end of the meditation. A good thing to do at the end is to go back and see, look and see how you feel. Is it different than when you started? And if it's worse, that's okay too. If it's better, that's okay too. Whatever happens, it's okay. And be grateful. Thank your mind for giving you this time, because you haven't been friends with your mind very much. Thank your mind for this opportunity to make friends. Thank your body for having this opportunity to make friends. And just be grateful to have this time to do nothing. And see how it feels. Ding, ding, ding. I don't have a bell, so. Okay, there is a bell. Oh, I like bells. Let's see. I love bells. I used to be the bell ringer in the Buddhist monastery in California, and they have this huge bell, this big. You need to hold the stick with two hands, a heavy stick, and you hit it and go bong 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 bong. The Zen people have their bells and their wooden mallets, whatever. So it was a very wonderful opportunity that I had, and I greatly appreciate this opportunity to come here and to share some time with you. I enjoyed it myself. I enjoyed my meditation. It wasn't anything special, but just to sit around with you guys, it's nice. It feels nice. And I'm sure that you all had good meditations too. It's not meditation. Let's not use that word anymore. It's a bad word. It's an activity again. Let's just say time to spend with your mind and your body. That's all. Some time, some quiet time to spend with the mind and body. And that way, you don't have to worry about what happens and what you're getting and where you're going and whatever. So, any questions or comments or... Yeah, please. Okay. Yes.
Would you object if I hassled the boss to send you down again?
Yeah.
Good thinking, Bob. Yeah. That's on the tip of my head. Well,
if you did, I would think that's good.
Yeah.
It's okay with me. Yeah. But
for the second episode, huh?
But they'll think I put you up to this. It's okay. I enjoyed this. I was completely, had no idea what would happen, but I had bad, you know, a lot of feedback. Even tonight when I went up to have a little chocolate, I wasn't okay. I didn't know what would happen. I didn't know what this group would be like. You know, I was told all kinds of things and I was yelled at and screamed at. I don't know. I didn't know. So anyway, yes, thank you.
Thank you. Yes, please come back.
Yeah, I would like to come back. They'll give me a time.
Well, I think you should come. Thank you very much. That was really wonderful. Can I say wonderful? Enlightening.
Enjoyable.
That's a better word.
You're great.
Marlene and the group. Marlene's been organising the collection of gift vouchers, Coles Myers, for the refuges, and we have how many, Marlene?
79.
Can we have a target of
one more?
I'll get it to you.
Good.
Yeah.
Next Tuesday is the last. Yeah. I'll be taking them in on the Wednesday.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So that's great. Lovely. That's an achievement, isn't it?
Mm.
There's also another one Bob gave me at night.
No, you can scratch that one. We'll hang that one up until next week.
It's quite a big spiel, but really it's a...
Yeah, you can condense it, though.
They want a technophobe to go up to the monastery and help out with the social media. It's all like... This would be online, wouldn't it?
No.
Request?
No.
No.
It shouldn't be. Revolving online. I won't read it because it took me up, but I've read it a few times. The numbers are quite big, though. 2016, the BSWA's online service had 350,000 downloads of Dharma teachings in video and audio format.
Mm.
And the aim is for 500,000 per month during
2017. Yeah, it's massive.
Woo! That's pretty scary, isn't it?
Well, with that jump, I'm going for American talking to Google. I think he'll probably jump a little more.
Is that what he did?
Oh, he's done that.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, he gets around. No, see, coming to Armadale for some people is quite an adventure. Imagine going to Google. Dreadful thought.
You know that, what's his name? What's her name? Winfrey?
Oprah?
Yeah. She gets 27 million people on some of her things. 27 million.
That's a big influence over everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
Goodness gracious, man.
Let's hope Ajahn Brahm doesn't get that. We won't see him very much.
That's it from me. Anybody else got any comments? Want to ask any questions? Any questions?
What's this all about you're mentioning? Is this,
it's to help at the Buddhist Society organising information on social media stuff, Dharma talks and stuff like that. It's
basically cataloguing and archiving all the Dharma talks from Nolamara, all Dharma talks, cataloguing them, itemizing them, etc., and then getting them up online. It's quite a big ask.
This is the talks that have been given at Nolamara?
Yes.
Okay.
All the Dharma talks and some meditations, and all that material has been collecting digitally now for years, and it's now going up online.
Is it recorded talks or is it video talks?
Both.
And what about serpentine talks?
No.
Oh, okay.
The retreats.
It's a lot of stuff, isn't it?
It is.
So what is the website? Web address is just so much.
It'll be up on its own website. It's a brand new website, and everything that Sol Hanna has will, once we itemize it all will be up there. Everything. Yeah, everything we've done as well.
So that's that. Anyway, I think we might be coming on.
Thank you, Steve.
I think we'd like to have an episode two of what we've had
tonight.
Yes,
please.
Can anybody, seriously, just people coming to talk to Brian the event?
Yes, we're willing to.
Can you? You've got the hot mic or the back one?
I have a hot mic.
Do you mind turning out again?
I wouldn't mind. It's okay.
So bad.
But they most likely won't send me. they'll find some way not to send me.
See, they're getting attached to you already, but...
Okay, that's okay. I don't care. Listen, I'm old now. I don't have all the jobs I used to have. I still sweep every day, but I don't have jobs, so they want me to... This is my first teaching job ever.
Oh. Yeah, so, that's a confession. Well, that's a good excuse to build on it.
You'll have to come back for number two.
Yeah.
So this is you're getting the beginning, the very first time. I was a little... worried, actually, a little bit, not very much. Because I said, well, there's no one here. I'm no one. And anything I tell you is not coming from me. It's coming from the Buddha or Ajahn Brahm or something. Blame them. Don't blame me. I don't know anything. I'm not responsible. Anyway. Okay.
So you're a venerable now, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm a venerable. I've been a monk in this monastery for 5 years. In order to come here, you have to be 5 years as a monk. So I've been 5 years as a monk, a year as a novice, and a year as an anagarika, 7 years in the monastery. So, in other words, you can't come here. This is an honor to be able to teach. They don't allow other people to teach, the younger monks to teach, because they just don't. And it came down the line. Venerable Nito came. Remember Nito?
Yeah, he was really good.
So he came. He's a middle monk, and I'm a middle monk also. So I'm down the line from him. He's a year more than I am. So it goes down the line, and then it goes up the line. Ajahn Brahm.
Does Ajahn Brahm decide who's coming down? Does he?
No, he doesn't. He didn't. It just goes down the line now. It just because there are more. We have now three more middle monks in the monastery, and we have two others older middle monks. That's five, and then Ajahn Brahm, Ajahn Api, Ajahn Brahmawi, and Ajahn Chittapalo, and Ajahn, what's his name? Ajahn Sagaratna.
Oh, yeah.
And also older monk, but not as old as me.
Not as old as me.
Not as old as you. But he's old, actually. He's a little old. Some people get old and some people don't.
That's true.
It's not the body. The body gets old. But the mind can stay young. The mind is always young. That's the way it is. That's why you go on. So we don't want to get reborn. Remember that. So come back. See you again.
Thank you, Ajahn.